bless you, my child.
God bless you, my dear Brother John.
I was listening to our friend just now.
Yes.
And there's a great deal of truth in that which has been said. Although it is true that we do, in a sense, the major work from this side, we would be helpless if it were not for our instruments.
Yes.
As far as doing the work of the Spirit on earth is concerned. And it is true to say that although quite often it seems that the medium does very little, yet nevertheless a great deal depends on the instrument. Without their power, without their love, patience, without their realization of the fact that they are chosen to serve and do the work of the Spirit, that they are by their very nature and inclination instruments of divine instruction, divine influence and guidance, if they were not to realize that they were chosen for a specific work of Spirit, that they must to some extent dedicate themselves to the work of the Spirit and give themselves to the best of their ability in love and in service. Without them, we could do very little. I often think of you, my child, and realize that the power that is drawn from you at times is very great. And although we do to some extent return it, particularly during your sleep state, nevertheless, there is a stress and a strain which at times must, of course, deplete you. But we do everything in our power to replenish you, to revitalize you physically, mentally, psychically, and spiritually.
Yes, I'm sure.
Truly you are guided. Truly you are helped. All around and about you, unseen, oftentimes unknown and unrealized, are many souls. Some whom you will never know while you are yet on earth, who have no desire to make themselves, as it were, known, who are content and happy to work in the background, giving power, giving help wherever possible, not only to you, but to others whom you are introduced to, others whom you are led to meet for a purpose. Sometimes you may only meet them for a very brief moment of earthly time, but you leave with them some part of yourself. You leave with them a message of hope, a message of realization of truth. You give to them an insight and an opportunity which some at a later date do take unto themselves and make good use of. And indeed there are those who are patiently sitting, waiting for the Spirit to move them through the influence that you have brought to bear upon them in past time. They too desire to serve, my child.
Yes, thank you. I've got so many just now that are ill and whatnot, I seem to be sending thoughts out, and I seem to have got a little tired over it. I don't know whether that's
that
right.
That is one of the reasons why I speak this morning as I do. We always realize that in our work together, we must to some extent withdraw from you energy and vitality. And there are times when you will feel this tiredness and depletion. We do all we can to replenish it, but there are times when, of course, as you get older particularly, it will seem more and more an effort, more and more perhaps a strain, and there may come a time when we may have to, if only temporarily, reduce the amount of work that you can do.
No.
This is to be expected, my child.
Not yet, though, eh?
No, I would not suggest that it should be yet a while, but we would not be so foolish. Neither would we expect that you should be given work to do when you are not fit, nor well, nor able to achieve to do it.
Yes.
We know what we are doing, my child. We know how much we can hope to achieve,
yes,
how much we should attempt to do through you.
And he must be so eager. I don't like to feel that I'm going to limit you.
I know, my child, but the point is this, that though the spirit may be willing, the flesh may sometimes be weak. And there again, supposing that we allowed you to overtax your strength, and you were seriously ill, then we would, as it were, be shut off from doing the work of the Spirit,
course,
perhaps for a long period of time. It is better, my child, to do a little and to do it well, and to know that you are not overtaxing yourself to any undue degree, so that you can go on yet for many years.
Yes, thank you.
There are too many instruments who are driven, often by their own desiring to achieve and to do a great deal, admirable though it is, but in the end, after a time, their powers wane, the link between them and us is lessened, because, you see, if you overtax these powers, it can, in time, impair them.
Yes.
One must be patient and must realize that these things, these gifts of the spirit, are delicate and finely balanced, and there are times when the power of the spirit is such that it would even be perhaps unwise to overtax the instrument with them. We must be careful and cautious. We must realize, though we have this strong desire to serve, that if we are to serve, we must know how to serve, when to serve, and how much it is possible to achieve or to do at a given time under certain conditions. These conditions of which we so often speak are so variable. There are occasions when we can achieve a great deal, when the power is tremendous, when the harmony and the love which surrounds our instrument makes it possible for us to do great things. But there are times when we are fighting adverse vibrations, adverse conditions, when perhaps there is an atmosphere and a condition which is not congenial or helpful, either to you as a human being, either to you as an instrument, or to us who come to work and to serve. We must always measure, when we come, the prevailing conditions, whatever they may be, and in whatever that way they may have an effect, we must always remember that we can do what we can do only according to the moment, according to the condition, according to the power, according to those who come to you for help, according to those who create the very atmosphere and the very condition which is essential to our work. If they give freely in love, if they are cooperative, if they are harmonious, if they are desirous of higher spiritual thought and knowledge, if their desire is to uplift themselves to the heights of spirit, then we can and we do achieve much, and we can indeed do even more perhaps than we dare hope. But the point is, my child, quite often there are conditions which are prevalent, sometimes even at a meeting, where the conditions by their very nature are negative, where perhaps sometimes there is the condition which is brought into play by some individual or group of individuals, which by its very nature creates disharmony, creates chaotic vibrations. I have been with you on odd occasions. Fortunately, it is very rare, but there have been occasions which you may well remember when the condition has not been conducive, when there has been a condition around certain individuals which has not been cooperative, nor helpful, nor harmonious, nor Christian. Indeed, there is much that one could say about these things. Conditions to us are vital and important, more than people can ever understand or realize. But nevertheless, child, together we serve, and together we shall go forward, and we shall serve more and more according to the will of the Most High, according to those vibrations and conditions, particularly which prevail at the given moment of communion. But this communion is a delicate thing. This communion that we have is a valuable thing, valuable in so many different ways. But the more we realize its power, the more, in a sense, are we brought into a vibration by its very nature, which makes it so that we must at all times be careful of our conduct, of our thoughts, of our actions. We must at all times strive to be on that high level of spiritual awareness and consciousness, so that all that we say and do is to the glory of the Most High. We have great responsibilities, my child.
Yes, I realize that. I do try.
I know you do, child.
I'm very happy in my little room where I am, and the peace there is very wonderful, and I don't get enough of it. You know,
my child, you see, though we have taken you from the upper room and placed you in this new condition surrounding, which in many ways is preferable, in many ways is more conducive to your peace and your quietude and your happiness, yet at the same time it brings certain responsibilities, certain conditions which I suppose at times can even be irksome to you.
Yes, a little.
But you must accept them, child.
Yes, of course. Yeah, I work it out, and I'm very much on balance in credit.
Oh, yes, child. You know, child, I'm sure that you will realize, particularly from the point of view of your health, that it is much wiser and better that you should be so placed as you are.
Oh, yes.
The other conditioned environment, in certain respects, possibly, was peaceful and quiet. Once you were in your room and your door was closed. But there were great stresses and strains, particularly physically,
yes,
which would have undermined your health, which indeed did begin to undermine,
yes,
your health.
I felt that.
And I think that now, although there are certain petty frustration or irritation, you cannot lift yourself alone, child.
No, of course not. It's not healthy, is it?
No, child. You give freely of your love, freely of your time. I know there are moments when you think, oh dear, this is a nuisance, or that is a nuisance. And perhaps you think, oh dear, I want my freedom. You know, I know in a sense that you feel at times that you have not got quite the freedom in a sense that you wish. Of course you may say, yes, you have your freedom, you are a free agent. But in life, one can never be a completely free agent.
Yeah.
There are almost calls upon one. They may be minor things, sometimes petty things or irritating things. Sometimes people will take advantage of your kindliness and your generosity, and you sometimes think, well, this is going a bit too far. And I know there are moments when you think, well, I don't know. Sometimes you say to yourself, well, I suppose I've got to put up with it. These are normal, petty, material frustrations. Sometimes the weaknesses of others irritate you. That is human too. Sometimes individuals around you who perhaps are just as capable, if not in some senses more capable of doing certain things than you are, do not show a willingness. They show a lack of understanding. But these are the frailties that we will find always in human beings. Try to be patient and understand,
yes,
child.
Yes. There's a great kindliness there too.
Oh, yes, child.
I suppose, really, all who've tried to achieve come up against this same condition, really. Whatever your walk of life, I mean, Jesus must have felt very kept down when he wanted to do other things.
Of course, but the whole life of Jesus was one in a sense of, perhaps not resignation, but one might say that he gave freely of himself, and had quite often times when, because he was human, felt frustrated and felt that he was not achieving very much. You know, Christ, the life of Christ, which is such an example to us all, we must not expect that because we follow the path that it will be easy. And I do not think that anyone really does think that. But we must remember that as Christ suffered, and as Christ was disillusioned and disappointed, even with his friends, so to some extent was we being. We must not sort of set ourselves above Christ and expect that we should have an easy path. Those who would tread the path of spiritual achievement and attainment, those who would serve truly and do the will and the work of the Most High, must not expect that the path will be made straight. It will be difficult and torturous, and there are times when we shall feel inclined to sit by the wayside and wait a while. This sometimes is necessary. Sometimes it is good for us. And we must remember that there will always be problems, particularly of a material nature, while you are yet in the material realm. You must accept life and see in it many opportunities, not only for service, not only for the realization of one's own evolution and development, but also one must see it not, as it were, purely from one's own personal point of view. One must try to see it from every angle, every facet, how we ourselves affect others and how others affect us, how we must sometimes protect ourselves against ourselves. In other words, we must learn to live and be patient and tolerant and loving and try to understand that all that happens somewhere deep down, though we see it not, is a reason and a purpose, and that on that path of life we can truly serve, we can truly find an inner peace, an inner happiness that nothing can destroy, that all the time we are learning, we are gaining new knowledge and experience, and we learn sometimes from our failings and the failings of our friends and the failings of those around and about us. We must not forget that all living is learning. Sometimes the lessons are hard, sometimes they are bitter, sometimes they are sad, and sometimes we feel that There's no point, no purpose, no meaning in life when on earth, and yet all the time there is so much that we are beginning to assimilate, beginning to know about, beginning to realize, and that as we live our earthly lives, slowly but surely we are progressing, slow though it may be, though we as it were seem to know or assimilate so little of any consequence, yet all human life to some extent on its different stratas of evolution and development or lack of it, all are learning. You, my child, have learned a great deal. It has not been easy, the path, but I know this, that you shall never, never be alone. Almost you shall be helped, guided, and uplifted by the power of the Holy Spirit. That which we do, as I've often said to you, my child, is greater than ourselves.